Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 31 degrees under mostly cloudy skies with fresh snow on the ground this morning. Today is Thursday, March 1st, 2012. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. The Mount Edgecombe Braves defeated Petersburg in the opening round of the Region 5 3A basketball tournament in Ketchikan yesterday and will meet Haines today in a semifinal game at 1 p.m. Mount Edgecombe's win was solid. The final score was 63-37. The Metlakatla Chiefs beat Craig 60-45 and will face top-ranked Sitka in semifinal action this afternoon at 4:45. On the girls' side, the Mount Edgecombe Lady Braves lost their opening round contest to Metlakatla 49-45. The Lady Braves met Petersburg in the first round of the loser's bracket beginning at 8 a.m. today. The top-seeded Sitka Lady Wolves enjoyed a first-round bye. They'll meet Haines in a semifinal game this afternoon at 3 p.m. Sitka and Mount Edgecombe games will be broadcast by KIFW AM 1230 in Sitka. Links to tournament brackets, schedules, and a live webcast are available at our website, kcaw.org. Meanwhile, the 1A-2A tournament is underway in the B.J. McGillis Gym on the campus of Mount Edgecombe High School in Sitka. The Angoon girls beat Thorn Bay yesterday, 35-31. They'll meet top-seeded Klawock at 2:45 this afternoon. The Skagway girls got the better of Hoonah, 54-25. They'll play number 2 Yakutat in a semifinal game this evening at 6:15 p.m. If either the Angoon or Yakutat women advance to the finals, Raven Radio will broadcast that game live tomorrow evening at 6:15 p.m. On the boys' side, in 2A, Yakutat defeated Cake 66-15. They'll meet Thorn Bay this afternoon at 4:30. Thorn Bay beat the Hoonah boys yesterday in the closest contest of the tournament so far, 38-36. Also, for the boys, Heidelberg beat Angoon 61-40, and Klawock defeated Skagway 44-29. Klawock and Heidelberg will play tonight at 8 p.m. in the B.J. McGillis Gym. If the Yakutat men advance to the finals, Raven Radio will broadcast that game as well at 8 p.m. tomorrow evening. For updated tournament information, including links to live webcasts from both tournaments, visit our website, kcaw.org. Planning for the expansion of the Sitka Historical Museum has moved from talk to floor plans. Museum Director Bob Menninger displayed two options for a 6,000-square-foot addition to Harrigan Centennial Hall for the Sitka Chamber of Commerce yesterday. Strictly speaking, the museum is in the pre-development phase. Last year, the Historical Society and the 4-Acre Group partnered in a $47,000 grant from the Rasmussen Foundation to convene a planning committee, to hire a museum consultant to assess the operational needs of the facility, and to hire an architect to develop preliminary floor plans. The proposed addition would move the museum to the other side of Harrigan Centennial Hall from its present location and create a new entrance to the building facing the visitor dock. The new museum will be integrated into the overall pedestrian and traffic improvements planned for the Centennial Building area. Menninger envisioned both permanent and temporary exhibit space common in the museum world.
Currently, we can't get a lot of the traveling exhibits that go around the state for a couple reasons. One, security, environmental controls, etc., such that we get the offers, we can't get them. And if we can get them, we have to take up a room in Centennial Hall, and normally those things come for 2, 3, 4 weeks, and normally Don is hesitant to give it to us for more than a week for not because of conferences coming in or something else.
Architect Paul Volkers of Juneau described the basic layout and function of the proposed museum's exhibit spaces, storage, and offices. At 6,000 square feet, the new museum space would occupy slightly less area than it does now, though the current museum is divided among three locations: Harrigan, the so-called White House on Seward Street, and Sawmill Cove Industrial Park. An audience member was concerned that the proposed museum addition's appearance would conflict with Harrigan Centennial Hall, which has a distinctive look. Volkers responded that upgrades to the museum would likely benefit Harrigan.
I think it should be friendly and tie in gracefully, but not necessarily be an exact replication of it. And who knows, when the larger expansion and modification of Centennial Building is done, I would be surprised if there wasn't a little more daylight and glass and stuff introduced too. So there may be, not unlike Kettleson Library has both stone and glass. So I think there's some changes that are almost inevitable and centennial as well.
The next step in the pre-development process is to formulate a legislative request for funding, in this case an estimated $4.1 million. So far, Sitka only has money in the bank for parking and pedestrian improvements to the area, and some ambitious plans for improvements to Harrigan Centennial itself are in line ahead of proposed expansions of the museum or Kettleson Library. None of the planning for the C7 Master Plan, as the overall design of the Centennial Building area is called, has been without some controversy, but Martha Schoenthal, a consultant with the 4-Acre Group hired to assist the museum, said Sitka was doing it right.
You all are to be really admired for moving forward and actually doing planning on all the different parts and pieces at the same time. So give Michael a break every now and then, give Mr. Denby a break every now and then, but it's really exciting what you're doing.
Michael Harmon is Sitka's Director of Public Works, who updated the audience on the construction timeline for traffic improvements in the area. Jim Dinley is Sitka's City Administrator. To see floor plans for two proposed museum additions to Harrigan Centennial Hall, visit our website, kcaw.org. The State Board of Fisheries on Tuesday decided to continue allowing sport anglers to use electric reels. The panel voted down a proposal prohibiting power-assisted reels except for disabled sport fishermen. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports from the board meeting in Ketchikan.
Allowing sport fishermen to use power-assisted devices has been controversial since they came on the market. Supporters say it's just one more piece of gear in an ever-expanding toolbox. Opponents say it's too easy and gives too much access to commercial black cod stocks. Current rules limit the size and weight of powered gear, but not who can use it. The proposal would have limited use in Southeast Alaska to people with disabilities. Author Steve Merritt, president of the Alaska Trollers Association, testified power-assisted reels are taking the sport out of sport fishing.
I mean it also on the principle of fair chase. We have rules for no night scopes, spotlighting deer, all involving electricity, that it's not really considered fair chase.
Some sport fishermen use electric reels to target black cod, which are also called sable fish. The deep water dwellers can be hard to catch without power assistance. Larry Edfelt spoke on behalf of Juneau-based territorial sportsmen.
Outlawing electric reels would close the black cod fishery in the Juneau and northern China. We fish in 2,000 feet of water there, 1,500 to 2,000 feet. It takes 10 minutes just to get the bait down.
Guided fishermen also use the devices. Richard Yamada of the Alaska Charter Association testified the plan is the wrong way to approach the issue.
I think this proposal was a go-around to just restrict the use of to try to control harvest of sable fish. And I think the appropriate means would be bag limits.
Board of Fisheries members voted 6-1 against the proposal. Petersburg's John Jensen was the only one in support. Member Sue Jeffrey of Kodiak said it's a social issue.
I liken this to the debate in Kodiak about whether we should allow people to hike up a mountain on four-wheeler versus on foot. You know, it's the outdoors is for, you know, all users, and for some people, just getting out in a boat on the water is sporting enough.
Representatives of local Board of Fishery Advisory Committees voiced support for the proposal. Department of Fish and Game staff said the best way to reduce power reel use would be to ban it altogether. They said existing rules could allow disabled people to use the devices. The proposal is among almost 145 before the board. Deliberations continue through Sunday. This is Ed Schoenfeld reporting from the Board of Fisheries meeting in Ketchikan.
Members of Alaska's bipartisan Senate majority fired back at Governor Sean Parnell and his allies on Tuesday for calling the Senate's proposed revision of the state's oil tax structure an increase. The governor's office, State Chamber of Commerce, and Alaska Oil and Gas Association sent action alert emails to inboxes across the state on Monday, urging Alaskans to testify at hearings this week on Senate Bill 192. The bill is currently in the Senate Resources Committee. Chairman and Fairbanks Democrat Joe Paskvin says the Department of Revenue's projections for the latest version of the bill show it resulting in a tax decrease of about $250 million a year for oil companies.
To say that it is a tax increase, I think, casts considerable doubt on the Department of Revenue's forecasts and undermines the validity of the Department of Revenue forecasts.
Parnell's email says the bill also does nothing to stem the decline of oil production. The governor says his competing tax cut proposal, House Bill 110, is the only measure to date to get promises of new investment from producers. Again, Paskvin accused Parnell of playing fast and loose with the facts, noting production has been declining for more than two decades.
Where the governor says for more than 2 years I've heard Alaskans talking about declining oil throughput, I think that it's important for the public to consider that as part of Alaska's history, there's been a decline in throughput since 1989.
Senate President Gary Stevens, a Kodiak Republican, says the goal of the Senate version has always been to cut taxes, and to suggest otherwise is deceptive.
Never was an intention, or no one's intention in the Senate ever, to have a tax increase. So I hope we can put that issue to bed.
The Senate Resources Committee was scheduled to hear public comment on the bill yesterday evening. The committee also has nearly 20 amendments to consider before passing the measure onto the Finance Committee for more scrutiny. Oil and gas taxes make up about 90% of the state's annual revenue. Zone weather forecast today for Sitka and Port Alexander calls for scattered snow showers this morning, then rain likely this afternoon. Snow accumulation of 1 to 3 inches, highs around 39. Southeast winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, low temperatures around 35 with rain in the evening changing to snow. This is KCAW in Sitka.